Thank you, Reb Moshe Zedek, for inviting me to say this shir. Lila Nishmas Yomar Lerezel Bas Reb Yosef Olei HaSholem, his yahrzeit is tonight, on the second night of Chanukah, and may her neshama have and continue to have nachas. I'm sure it does already, and this should continue from her children, her grandchildren. And as you already alluded to, probably herself would never have believed she'd have generations upon generations of Shomrei Torah or mitzvahs. Some of them are here in Eretz Yisrael, and all of your avodah and your family's avodah should indeed be an ilu neshama for her.
Amen.
I'd like to speak a little bit tonight about the words you just mentioned at the end, which is Lahoidei Sulahalo, the union of thanking, which is of course so central to the Chag of Chanukah in general, but as we'll soon see, it is central to our very nature, to our very essence, to our very religion, and to what Yiddishkeit is really all about. The Rambam, when he spells out for us the halachas of Chanukah, so he says as follows: one should light the menorah, lohoisif shevach v'hoido'o al hanisim. One lights the menorah in order to thank for the miracles that occurred at the time of the Chanukah Nes. It would seem to be from the Rambam that the lighting of the menorah is in fact considered an act of thanking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We normally understand that's not the case. Lighting of the menorah is a commemoration of the miracle, but it itself is not a form of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It would seem to be from the Rambam that when you're lighting the menorah, you are in fact declaring your thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Rambam writes. Mitzvahs ner Chanukah, lohoisif shevach v'hoido'o. The truth is, we say this the whole of Chanukah. In the Nusach of the Al-Anisim, and then we say Haneiros Halolu, in the Nusach of Haneiros Halolu, Onu Madlikin, we said it just a few hours ago, we light the Chanukah candles, Onu Madlikin, we say Al-Anisim v'Al-Anifloiz, Kedei Lahoidos, in order to thank. What does that mean? These candles are in order to thank. How were these candles in any way a form of thanking? They lechayra were a form of declaring that there was a miracle. That's true. They were a form of declaring that I recognize the occurrence of a nes. But what does that mean that you light the candles so as to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There is a very famous principle which I've seen very widely quoted by Rabbi Yitzchok Huttner, fairly well known. The word in Lashon HaKodesh, hoido'o, which we all translate as thanks, but actually it means two things. It can also mean to acknowledge or to admit. We've learned Gemara, we know that we are hoido'as baldin. The Baal Din, I admit I owe you money. If I say to you, I'm moida that you're right, I'm moida that I owe you money, I'm not thanking that I owe you money, I'd rather not owe you money at all. But I'm admitting that I owe you money. So there seems to be some coincidental dual meaning that the one word, hoido, at the same time means thanking and also admitting. Now we know that never happens in Lashon HaKodesh, unlike other languages. If a meaning, a word has two meanings, it must be that those two meanings are inexplicably linked and cannot be separated. So Rabbi Yitzchak Hupne explains that is the case. And he says it's very simple. When I thank you and I say, thank you so much for the gift you just gave me, thank you so much for the food you just gave me, that thanks is predicated on the initial recognition that there was something that I was lacking. I needed some food, and you were the one who were able to provide for what I was lacking. I was unable to provide for myself, and you saved the day. Based on that, I then thank you. Every thanks is by definition based initially on an admission. I first admit that you had something that I didn't. You had some knowledge that I didn't. You had some money, you had some food, you had something that I didn't have and I needed it, and you were the one who were able to provide that for me. I therefore proceed to thank you. But one is very much based on the other. And Rabbi Yitzchak Hupne says, and most incredible observation, we say this every single day of our lives, and we could say it for 100 years and perhaps not notice it had Rabbi Hupne not pointed it out. Have you ever noticed that when we say every day in davening, Moedim, Moedim anachnu loch, and a whole list, Sho'atohu Hashem alekeinu mekevasinu l'etzer, and then all of a sudden, Noida l'chol nesaper, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the nisim. You just said, Moedim anachnu loch. Why are you saying Noida again? Why are you saying it twice? Says Rabbi Yitzchak Hupne, look at this. Moedim anachnu loch, I am what? So in the Yad Scroll translation, I'm sure they translated it as, I thank. Thanking for what? Doesn't thank for anything yet. Moedim sho. Sho. Sho atohu. I'm not thanking yet. I'm going to get to that in a minute when I say, Noide lechol nesaper on all the tremendous miracles. But before I do that, Moedim anachnu loch. Sho atohu Hashem elekeinu. You are a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You are the Kohel Yochel. You are this tremendous Koyach. I'm first admitting that you are the Koyach. Once I've done that, then Noide Lecho, Nesaper Tilosecho, Al Chayenu. Now I can thank four. I admit two, but I thank four. Moide Manachnu Loch, Sho'atahu Hashem Oleikenu. I first admit that you are this tremendous Koyach. Without whom I wouldn't live, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't exist. Having recognized that, I can proceed to be moida in the meaning of thanks. Noida lachon asaper al chayenu hamsurim, etc., etc., etc. I always understood, according to this, that when we read in last week's parasha, that Yehuda was able to muster up this superhuman courage to admit his mistake. And he said those two famous words, Tzodko mimeni. Tomor is right, I am wrong. He admitted his mistake, and Chazal praised him profusely. And it says that Bizchus that he was zeicha to have Malchus emanating from him. Where did he get that koyach from? Where was Yehuda able to find in his tchunas ha-nefesh, where was he able to discover that koyach to admit his mistake? We all know it's not easy to admit one's mistake. I'll never forget when I was in a kollel in Har Nof, had a machlokes, a big argument with somebody in the kollel. I wouldn't give in, he wouldn't give in, I just didn't see his point. I could not understand where he was coming from. You know, sometimes you can see two sides of the argument, but I couldn't see where he was coming from. Truth is, it could be that he couldn't see where I was coming from, and he's probably giving a shit elsewhere, talking about me. But either way, I couldn't see, where is he coming from? What? I don't understand. And the next day he comes to me, remember the next day in Kodal, and he says to me, I thought about it, and you know something? I was wrong. I was just about, you know, I was blown away. Well, what, you know, so magnanimous, so, you know, very, very, very special, But he immediately continued, he said, you know, I was wrong.
But you were also wrong.
Before I could even, you know, but you were also wrong, so therefore I don't mind admitting. It's not an easy thing to admit one's mistake. So where did Yehuda get this from? And I think, in light of Rav Huttner's Chiddush, do you know where he got it from? What was Yehuda called? Yehuda was called thanking. Yehuda was the fourth child of Leah. She called him Yehuda, Hapam Oida Es Hashem. Hapam Oida Es Hashem. If Yehuda's whole nature is to thank, and as we mentioned, every thank is based on admission, why was he called Yehuda? Rashi says, because each one of Yaakov's four wives thought, they knew they're going to be 12 shvatim. 12 divided by 4 is 3. They all thought they'd get 3. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, why do I get Yehuda? Says Rashi, Notalti Yosef Michelki. I got more than I deserved, I admit. Therefore I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, Yehuda's whole metzias, his whole personality is one of thanks based on admission. He is the one who's able to say, Tzad Kamameni, I admit my mistake, because that's my whole nature. My whole nature is to thank, and every thank is by definition based on an admission. Therefore, when the Rambam tells us, you light the Chanukah candles in order to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we said, how are you thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu by lighting the Chanukah candles? It's true, you're recognizing there's an ace, that's true, because otherwise you wouldn't be lighting. But the answer is that the two are independent, the two are completely intertwined. Because the minute you recognize there is an ace, that is the basis, that is the building block to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I cannot thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu without first recognizing there was a miracle. I'm unable to take one pach shemen and get it to light for 8 days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to do that. So there's an admission, there's a hoidah, which brings us to the hoidah, meaning thanks. The Rambam adds a very famous word. The Rambam says the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is chaviva hi ma'od. How do we translate chaviva? Precious. It's a very, very special mitzvah. Now remember, Ner Chanukah, as important as it is obviously, is a mitzvah midrabbanan. The Rambam doesn't say that the mitzvah of tefillin, or Shabbos, or mezuzah, or matzah, of lulav is chaviva hi ma'od. What is this tremendous chavivus that we find with regard to the Ner Chanukah? And I think the answer is as follows. I'm reliably informed, one of our Shia members is Italian, and he tells us that there are many, many, many different words in Italian for pizza. By me, a pizza is a pizza, this round thing with cheese on it, and Gandik, that's a pizza. No, there's many, there's this type and there's that type. I remember, you know, Shira Meshazeli, one of our Talmidim was absolutely appalled when he said to me, he says, have you ever had the Bialy bagel? Bialy, Bialy Shul up the road. I said, well, what's a Bialy bagel? He said, you don't know what Bialy bagel is? I said, no. He says, well, what bagel do you normally have? Know, 5 years ago, the last time I had a bagel, I think it was a plain one. I don't remember, it's not like a whole part of my religion. If a bagel is absolutely central to your whole culture, then you have to know the difference between a spiced bagel and an onion bagel and a fried bagel and a Bialy bagel. Incidentally, he bought me one back from America. It was nothing to write home about. So in Italy, they have many, many words for pizza because pizza takes prime place in the Italian culture. So therefore, there's no one size fits all, one word that describes all, there's all different types of nuances. I've been told the Eskimos have several words for snow. By us, snow is this white stuff that sometimes lands in Beit Shemesh, very, very rarely. But it's whether it's this type of snowflake or that type of snowflake, it doesn't really make a difference to us. And yet, what do we have several words for when we say that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahoidois, lavarech, lahale, lakale, lashabeach, laroimein? So we could just translate it to thank, to thank, to thank. No, 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 no. Everyone has their nuance. L'reinein is not quite l'hadeir, and l'hadeir is not l'vorech, and l'vorech is not l'kalis, and l'kalis. Why must we have so many words to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the answer is, we are called Yehudim. Thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not something that we do, it's something that we are. That defines our very essence and nature. We are thankers. We are not people who thank. We are by nature thankers. That is absolutely central to our whole existence. The more central it is, the more words, therefore, I need to define all the different types of thanks. We cannot suffice with one type of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's all various different levels and different types of thanks, but it's absolutely central because that defines what we are, not just what we happen to do. And therefore, we understand that the mitzvah of Chanukah is chaviva himoid. Because if the mitzvah of lighting your Chanukah candles is a thanks, is an expression of a thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is in fact the whole essence of Chanukah, it is the one mitzvah, it is the one Yom Tov with which we express our entire essence. This is what we are here to do, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that does not take place perhaps with Tefillin and Lulav, as important as they are. In fact, they are more important essentially because those are mitzvahs min HaTorah. But this mitzvah Drabonon, whose whole essence is to thank, that is the mitzvah, and this is the Yom Tov by which we express. This is central to our whole religion. We are called the Yehudim, we thank. Which is the Yom Tov of thanking? It's the mitzvah of Chanukah. Therefore, this is the mitzvah which is Chaviv Ohi Admoid. Let's add an important point to the thanking of Chanukah. You cannot possibly go through Chanukah without mentioning the kasha of the Beis Yosef. Why is Chanukah 8 days? They had enough oil to light for one day anyway, so the Chayra only 7 days is the Nes. Famous kasha. My son just told me this series, or so far 500 tirutzim to this kasha. We will not go through 500 tonight. But there is a very well-known approach, which I must be honest, until this year, and I thank you, Moshe Zelig, because it was b'zchus this year. Until this year, I never really understood it, I don't think, in its full depth. And this year, I have an understanding. A little bit, I saw this, much of what I'm about to say is in the Sefer Yimei Chanukah, Reb David Cohen, the Rosh Shiva in Hebron, who lives in Yerushalayim today. The approach that I've heard, and I think, I'm sure many of you have heard, is very famous. When the daughter of Rav Chanina ben Doisa says to him on Erev Shabbos, what do I do? We have no oil in the house. What am I going to light? I only have vinegar. And he utters those famous words and he says, the same God that says that oil can light can also quite frankly say that vinegar should light, and in fact it did. In other words, there is this recognition on the part of Rav Chanina ben Doisa that what you consider normal and what you consider miraculous is actually no different whatsoever. So same HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he can decide to make vinegar light in as much as he can, that Shemen lights as well. What's the difference? We just view oil lighting as a regular, normal, day-to-day occurrence. But Rav Chanina ben Doisa was on that level where he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every little pach shemen. We sometimes only see HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we see vinegar light. But he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemen lighting as well. Therefore, what's the difference? Shemen can light, and Chometz can light, and indeed it did. So, the Alter of Kelm explained that it's true, the miracle was only for 7 days. This was a 7 day miracle. One day there was no miracle. Why did the oil burn? Because they had oil, that's not a miracle. But if you stop and think for a moment, and you realize that the fact that the 7 days Shemen burned is a nace, all of a sudden you realize, you know something? I just understood that on day one, when it burned even non-miraculously, that's also miraculous. There is no difference between the seven and the one. And that's how the answer of Karam answered the Beis Yosef's Kasha. Why is Hanukkah for 8 days? There was only a 7 day miracle. The answer is it's true, but through the great miracles, the Rambam famously writes in Parashas Vay, when there's a spectacular miracle, all of a sudden we stop and we realize that, you know something, our day to day existence is also miraculous. We just don't think about it. So the 7 day all of a sudden shows me that day one is equally miraculous. So you have your life another day. The 8th day, this last final day of Hanukkah, there ought only to be 7. Why is there an 8th? What are we celebrating on the 8th day? Not Nes. We're celebrating Teva. Nature is miraculous. And there is a beautiful, beautiful addition. I'm sure we all sung tonight. Yevonim nigbusu olai, so it's famously brought down, we say at the end, B'nei vino yemei shmoina. B'nei vino, what does vino mean? Understanding. If we stop and we think and we understand, then we can really appreciate that it's going to be yemei shmoina. If we don't understand and we don't think about it, then it'll be yemei shiva. It'll be a 7 day festival because you only see the miracle. But if you stop for a moment or two, B'nai Vina, and you think about it, and you understand, then you'll realize that's why it's Yimei Shmoina, it has to be an 8 day festival. Fine. So this is the principle that I've heard, very, very important. I never really understood it. Why did I not understand this? We're being taught over here a very important lesson. That when you see a miracle, one has to stop and be reminded that our day-to-day, normal, quote-unquote, existence is equally miraculous. So really, Hanukkah should have been 7 days. Why do they add an extra day to celebrate Teva? I never understood this. What has that got to do with Hanukkah? So why didn't they add an extra day for Pesach? Tremendous miracles on Pesach. There was a Yetzias Mitzrayim and there was Kriyas Yam Suf. Did you know something? When you see Kriyas Yam Suf, shouldn't we stop and think and realize, you know, the fact that we have running water is also a miracle. So why is there an extra day of Pesach? Let's call it the festival of water. We have a Hanukkah, we have a Pesach, we have a Sukkot. Amazing. Anane HaKovei and the tremendous Sukkot. 1 second, you know something? The fact we have a roof over our house, which we think is normal, is also miraculous. So let's add an extra day. This principle, as important as it is, that you have to see that nature is also miraculous, why does that find expression only in Hanukkah? I never understood this properly. I appreciate the explanation and that answers the Beis Yosef's Kasha so beautifully. Why is Hanukkah 8 days, not 7? Because the 8th day is also really miraculous. But every Yom Tov is like that. Every time we recall a nes, let's have an extra day. Until this year. And this, as I mentioned, I saw in the Sefer Yemei Hanukkah of David Cohen Shlita. The reason why this is specific to Hanukkah is because Hanukkah is a celebration of the downfall of Yovan, the Greek philosophy. What is the Greek philosophy? The famous Medrash, right in the beginning of Bereishis. The Yovan philosophy was, they announced loud and clear, tell Klal Yisrael, Ein Lochem Chelek Beleke Yisrael. You have no connection to God. That was their philosophy. That's what they tried to pound and hound into Klal Yisrael. Ein Lochem Chelek Beleke Yisrael. You have no connection to God. What does that mean? So he explains as follows. The Vilna Gaon says, who is the founder of the Greek religion? As we know, Aristotle. And it's tremendous chokhmah. The Rambam, in one place, says he was so wise that his wisdom is only fractionally short of prophecy, of nevuah. He was that wise. Says the Vilna Gaon, if Aristotle would come to my house, this is where he writes it, I would show him the sun shedding its light on my table, al hashulchan, that's what he writes, and I would say to Aristotle, here, there's God. Aristotle, writes the Vilna Gaon, was a kofer, total atheist, mehaschola ad hasois, from beginning to end. He says, I could show Aristotle God, very, very simple. I'd show him the sun, please walk in, look how it sheds its rays on my table, and there you have it. So he says, Shimon HaTzadik, the Tanna, who lived at the time of Aristotle, he was unable to demonstrate that to Aristotle. I could have done it. Says the Vilna Gaon, no, he couldn't have done it, and quite frankly, neither could I. Because he chose not to see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He could, with his immense chochma, have seen HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every nook and cranny of the Bria. But if you choose to close your eyes, there's no point having something and putting it right to my face. If my eyes are closed, you won't see it. But says the Vilna Gaon, make no mistake, this was voluntary atheism. He decided to be an atheist. It suited him to be an atheist. Not because he, unfortunately, wasn't wise enough. To the contrary, he was the chacham of all chachamim. I once heard by David Orlovsky, one of his famous Ask the Rabbi sessions. He said a teenager gets up there and says, Rabbi, I'm an atheist. Now you have to know, if you challenge with David Orlovsky, you're a losing battle. So Rabbi Orlovsky said to him, are you an atheist? He says to this 15-year-old teenager. He says, Tommy, have you ever studied the early philosophical sources? Reb Sadia Gaon, the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim. He says, no, I haven't. He says, well, perhaps you've studied the medieval sources of Jewish theology and philosophy, the Kuzari and other writings. No, I haven't. Well, maybe some of the more contemporary works, Reb Shimshon Farel Hirsch and the Malbim and other writings of philosophy. No, I haven't studied those either. So he says to him, well, I'm sorry to tell you, you're not an atheist, you're just an idiot. That's what he says to him. He says, you probably sat thinking one night, 4 o'clock in the morning, is there a God? No. Finished. On that was based your entire outlook on life. It's very easy not to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you choose, it's inconvenient, so you think, yeah, I'm an atheist. Says the Vilna Gaon, Aristotle chose to be an atheist. He chose not to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yovan, Yud, Vov, Nun, Yud is 10, Vov is 6, and Nun is 50, Gematria 66. And the Sfasana says that is the Gematria of Galgal. Galgal represents the galaxies and all of the atmosphere, all of the Chochmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yovan were able to see that Chochma. That's their Mahus. They have that Chochma. All they needed to do was open their eyes and see the phenomenal chokhmah that lies in the Bria, but they chose not to do so. They chose to opt for a different philosophy of life. God, he doesn't exist. It's all teva. Everything is teva. There's no chokhmah, it's all teva. There's no one master orchestrator over here. It's all teva. That was the outlook of Yovan, as begun by Aristotle, their founder. The Rambam famously writes, if you want to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, very, very simple. Step outside and open your eyes. Look at the trees. And look at the birds. And look at our day-to-day lives. And you'll see HaKadosh Baruch Hu every which way you look. But you've got to open your eyes. That's the only condition. If you don't, then you can have the greatest chokhmah in the world. So Gornish Helfen, it's not going to help at all because you choose to direct your chokhmah elsewhere. I don't want to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu everywhere in the Bria. I refuse to see that Teva is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that therefore answers our question. When the Altar of Kelm says that, you know why Hanukkah is 8 days and not seven? Because we're celebrating that Teva is also a miracle. And we said, that's very beautiful, but why is that specific to Hanukkah? What has that got to do with Hanukkah? The answer is it has everything to do with Hanukkah. Because Hanukkah is the celebration of the downfall of Yovan. It's the celebration of the downfall of this particular philosophy in which we refuse to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Comes along the Hanukkah nace and says, we do see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's true. Sometimes it takes a nace to open our eyes. But when we open our eyes, we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu where? Everywhere, including in Teva. Teva is full of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. That's why it's specifically on the Yom Tov of Hanukkah, not Pesach, and not Sukkot, and not Shavuos, not in every other Yom Tov, even though those are also to commemorate miracles. But over here, the whole Avodah of Hanukkah is, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we see you everywhere you exist, in Teva. Because that is the absolute antithesis of Yavon's philosophy. Their philosophy was, Yavon, Galgal, we could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, 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 it doesn't exist. It's just all some haphazard, miraculous mistake. It just so happened. We don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're celebrating on Hanukkah that we do see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How so? The miracle is the impetus. But ultimately we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in Teva. Which really in summary means that when the Beis Yosef says, you know something? Hanukkah should only be 7 days and not eight. It turns out that that eighth day is in fact the most important day of Hanukkah. That extra, additional day is what Hanukkah is all about. It's not merely the celebration of the miracle. Rather, it is the recognition that the miracle opens my eyes and I suddenly stop and think, you know something? The fact that oil burns is also a miracle. The fact that I eat is a miracle. The fact that I breathe is a miracle. The fact that I'm here, the fact that I'm living, the fact that I'm existing is also a miracle. So it's precisely on the day that I celebrate nature as opposed to supernature, that's the main avodah of Hanukkah. That's the main avodah of Hanukkah. And as we said in the beginning, it is the haidah, the admission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created this tremendous miracle for me, that is the impetus to the haidah type 2 that I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. I'll call neshama v'neshima every single breath that I have. I used to learn a number of years ago with a chavrusa who was a nephew, a great nephew of the man of the Rosh Hashiva, of Yehuda Zeiv Segal Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He told me once that the Rosh Hashiva took a Talmud into his kitchen. On the stove there was one of the old-fashioned kettles, steam pouring out, this kettle is whistling, and the Rosh Hashiva said to his Talmud, he said, tell me, Vos zestu do, what do you see over here? Kettle. What do you see over here, said the Rosh Hashiva. A kettle, steam, bubbling. No, no, what do you see? Okay, I give up. Well, what am I supposed to say? Well, the Rosh Hashiva obviously wants something. So the Rosh Hashiva told him as follows. He said, you know, you see steam pouring out this kettle with a tremendous force. There was this person, his name was Stevenson, who figured out that, you know, if the steam comes out with such a force, why can't we use that to power the first steam engine? And he was the inventor of the locomotive. And all trains are really based on that initial invention. So the Maharishi Rosh Hashiva said to him, I want to ask you something. What do you think was the difference between Stevenson and the hundreds of thousands of people before him who also had kettles boiling in their kitchen? After all, it is told that the locomotive was based on Stevenson looking at his kettle. So what are you going to tell me? No, he had a different type of kettle. Stevenson was some great goyin, adir, said the Rosh Hashiva to his Talmud, and this is really what he was trying to teach his Talmud. He said, no, 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 that's not the difference. Do you know what the difference is? He said it in Yiddish, I'll say it in Yiddish and translate. He said the difference is hat getracht, they haben nicht getracht. The difference is he thought about it, they didn't. When I asked you and I said, what do you see over here? And you said your cattle, and you saw steam. Yeah, hundreds of thousands saw the same. When Stevenson saw the cattle, he saw a train. Why? Because he thought about it. Not because you were some great, brilliant professor. There were thousands before him and after him that could have come up with the same understanding, but they didn't think about it. They saw the kettle, had their coffee and went home, that was it. But he saw the train. He saw the steam. One second, what's behind this? If the steam is being shot out with such a velocity and such a force, maybe that can be used to direct a train, but you need a bit of hisboinenus. You need the B'nai Vinor to come to the Yemei Shmoina. It is told that the Chofetz Chaim was once sitting. A Talmud watches this, and he is learning the parashiyos of the Makkos. Va'ira, boy, dam, saradeya, kinim. And a Talmud watches the following scene unfold. Sees the Chofetz Chaim all of a sudden get up, and he paces up and down, he's very disturbed by something. And the Talmud gets a little bit closer and hears the Chofetz Chaim mumble to himself, "I don't understand. Vos hot Paray Gitracht." What did Paray think? In other words, the Chofetz Chaim wasn't asking some fancy, deep question. What's the simple translation of the Psukim? Moshe Rabbeinu told him there's going to be blood, there's blood. He told him there's going to be frogs, there's frogs. How did he explain that? What did he think? Could you say, maybe he thought the water was polluted? Did he think something else? Is there some sort of rational explanation that he could have just explained this away? Vos ot paray gitrach, and the whole time was bothered. And he couldn't continue learning the parasha. He was struggling up and down. And all of a sudden, the Talmud sees the whole time stops, and he's calmed, and he sits down. I've got it. Oh, let's see. No, how did Paray do it? Vos ot paray gitrach, what did he think? And he overhears the Chofetz Chaim say to himself in a quiet whisper, "Ah, I've got it. Obviously, Paray hot nisht getracht." Paray clearly didn't think. In other words, the Chofetz Chaim reached this conclusion: had he only stopped to think, then Parshas Va'era Boy B'Shalach Yisra would all ended very, very differently. But he didn't stop to think. Hot nisht getracht, and that's where the Chofetz Chaim was calm. Meaning, the Chofetz Chaim had no other pshat in this pasuk. The frogs is some sort of insect disease, and the kid is something else, and this is blood. No. There's no way this can be explained to any thinking person. So what did he think? The answer is obviously he didn't. Simple as that. I remember when our oldest son was born, Yisrael, my brother-in-law, unmarried at the time, said to me such a beautiful, profound thing. He said to me, how can it be that the world is full of thousands upon thousands, probably millions of atheists? How can it be that the world is full of atheists when babies are being born every day? How can it be? But the answer is Vazov Nisht Gitracht. If anybody stops and thinks, and a bit of B'nai Vino, they realize, you know, we call this natural, this is a miracle. And you'd see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every nook and cranny, everywhere you turn, every hospital is full of mothers giving birth. So how can there be atheists in the world? The answer is, as Rayalovsky said, they're not atheists, they're idiots. They refuse to believe, they refuse to think, be misbehaving. I would say in conclusion, and I think this is perhaps particularly pertinent to our host, I remember once hearing from Rav Pinkus, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He said he had a friend who was training to become a pilot. Big examination at the end, and this will decide whether he's passed and become a qualified pilot. And Rav Pinkus waited till the big day, and he says to his friend, "Well, what happened? Did you pass? Did you not?" "I passed." "Oh, Mazel Tov, trained pilot." He says, "What did you score, 100%? And he burst out laughing. He says, "Of course not 100%. I know, of course. You ever been in an airplane? You ever seen the cockpit? It's trying about a billion different buttons. You know how complicated it is? It's not shy to get 100% in the test. If you score, whatever, 85, and you train to become a pilot, they hope that the main things you know how to do. But it's not shy. Every last button out there, up and down, the controller. 100% is not shy. 100% is not shy. So Pinker said, you know, when he thought about that, typically, he said 100% is not shy for an aeroplane. And here we all are functioning every single day of our lives. And we say in Achshei Yotzah, Nekovim, Nekovim, Chalulim, Chalulim, She'im Yiposeach Echod Mehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does get 100%. It's a good thing. Because if not, and how does that bracha conclude? We have a bracha in Shemayna Esra that says, Reife Choylei Amo Yisrael. But how does Asher Yotza finish? Reife Kol Basa. Reife Kol Basa. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the doctor of everybody, not just of the Choylim who happen to have a particular illness or disease. Every one of us, with all of our dials and the Kovim and the Kovim, Chalulim, Chalulim, well, it's not shy to get 100%. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping us going the Derech Nes every day. We don't necessarily see it. So sometimes we have to have our eyes open. So the big Nisim, the Chanukah, is this time of year where we stop and we realize that if only we're the Bnei Vino, we will realize that Chanukah is not 7 days, it's Yimei Shmoina. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every breath we take. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every day we're alive. For whatever we call natural and we take for granted is equally miraculous. And as we mentioned before, that is the Avodah of Chanukah. The Avodah of Chanukah. And for this reason, it's Chavivo Hi Admo'oid, because that is our essence. Our essence is we are Yehudim. We are not people who thank. We are by nature thankers. And if Chanukah is that Yom Tov where we defeated Yavon, and Yavon wanted to say, "Ein lochem chelek v'lekei Yisrael," nothing to do with God because He doesn't exist. Why don't you see that God exists? Yavon, Gematria Galgal. You can see the tremendous constellations and galaxies. Yeah, but we're not the Bnei Vina. We chose not to. We chose to direct our chokhmah elsewhere. But was hat er getracht? Nicht getracht. He didn't think. So you don't see a locomotive and a kettle, and Paro doesn't see a Kodesh Baruch Hu in Dam, Sardea, Kinim. We are equally guilty of that. If we can go through Chanukah, Chas V'Sholom, without an added sense of Hoidoa to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not just for the 7 days, but for the 8 days as well. For that eighth day, our day-to-day life that we breathe, that we live, we have a roof over our heads, this is the Avodah of Chanukah. And that's why it's so choviv ad ma'oid. It's so precious, it's so treasured by us, because this is the Yom Tov where we express the whole essence. This is not a Bialy bagel. This is not a piece of snow or a pizza. This is an expression of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is what our religion is all about. Yehuda! Yehudim! Hapam oyde es Hashem! That's what Chanukah is all about. The last line, the Mesillas Yesharim helps us. The Mesillas Yesharim helps us, and I know many of you have heard this from me before, but I think it's a mitzvah to quote and re-quote and revise and go over the words of the Mesillas Yesharim. And he says, if a person would be mistakel, mistakel, what does mistakel mean? It doesn't mean to look. That's called roya, to gaze, again, to be misplain and to think. Beroiv hatoivos, all the toiv that Kodesh Baruch Hu does with us, bekol ace or bekol shoah, every moment, every moment. And he says again, listen to these words, because the more sheyarba lehistakel ulahisboinin, the more we're misboinin about it, the more we will be generated to be better oivdei Hashem. And he says so beautifully, ein lecha adam, there is nobody. Be'ezah matzav sheyimsa. Whatever situation one finds oneself in. Im oni, im oshir, im bori, im choyle. One is poor, one is wealthy, one is ill, one is healthy. It doesn't matter. In every given situation, it's not possible, says the Mr. Yisharim, that you will not see niflois, v'toivois, rabois, v'matzavois. It's worth having a look, Mr. Yisharim Perekhes. But like all avodas Hashem, it's Avoidas Hashem. It takes work. The work is that you stop and you think and you say, Chanukah is the Chag of Hidor. Chanukah is the Chag by which we express our admission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we light those Chanukah candles, the Rambam says that's not just admitting, it's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is from you. Not just the 7 supernatural days, but the 8th day, the additional day, is in fact the essence of the whole Yom Tov of Chanukah, because that expresses our whole religion. That is Yehudim. We are moedim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it's so choviv. The air pilots might not be able to score 100%, but we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that our nekovim, nekovim, chalulim, chalulim are functioning. And even if we find ourselves in a situation, as the Mesillas Yesharim says, a person is a choleh, And he might say that, to be perfectly honest, I'm not scoring 100%. And maybe I am in a situation of she'im yiposteach echomeim or yisosam echomeim, and yeah, I'm alive and I'm functioning and I'm able to eat and to breathe and to live a normal life. That is the essence of the Avodah of Chanukah. And the reason why this is, of course, so appropriate, I mentioned Rav Moshe Zelig on Shabbos, I quoted what I think has become almost Rav Moshe Zelig's slogan at the moment, when I asked him recently, how are you feeling? Great and grateful. This is the situation that we all need to feel. We need to feel hopefully great, but certainly grateful. Kol neshama tahaloka, kol neshima. We're able to breathe, we're able to be alive. We go through the 8 days of Chanukah, but more importantly, does Chanukah go through us? Do we emerge at the other end of Chanukah saying, you know, I may not have a perfect life. If I would design my own life, maybe I would have done it like this, I would have designed it like, I don't know. I leave it to the master plan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But one thing is for sure, that whatever I do have in my life, I'm feeling great, and I'm internally grateful. If that can happen, the other end of Chanukah, we've truly understood that to be an appreciator of Yimei Shmoina, there has to be a Bnei Vino. It needs a moment or two, not more than that, to stop and think and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moedim Anachnu Loch Sho'atohu, I admit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is from you and you are the all-powerful existence in the world. And then Noyidu Lachor Nasapar, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every nace, for every breath, for my family, for my parnasa, for my house, for everything I have. As we mentioned in the beginning, this is the Avodah of Chanukah. We hope that these words will bring an ilu neshama to Isha, Reis or Bas, Rabbi Yosef Oleh HaSholem, may an neshama indeed have an aliyah in Gan Eden, and may we all have a enjoyable and meaningful Chanukah in the Tishah.
Amen. Thank you.